Morning to each one. I greet you in Jesus' precious name this morning. It's good to be gathered together here this morning to worship God together. And I trust that as we look into his word that we can again be challenged and we can find truths for our daily lives. You can turn with me for a message to Matthew chapter 18, the verse 21 to the end of the chapter. And this is Peter's conversation with Jesus, and Jesus' answer to him here in this passage starts in verse 21 with Peter talking, and then Jesus going into a parable to share with Peter what he really had in mind, what really should happen. And this message this morning was one that was given to me for the Cumberland Valley Church's Winter Bible School that's going to happen this next week. And so I thought maybe I'd bring it here this morning for you to hear. So be open to your input in it as we look through this together. I'm going to read the starting at verse 21, Matthew 18. It says, Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, for as much as he had not to pay. This his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, and saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw that saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and he delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I'd like to think about the power of forgiveness this morning. And right in the outstart, the power of true forgiveness is only found in the blood of Christ. It's only found in the blood of Christ. It's because the whole forgiveness thing started when the blood gushed out of our Savior's side on the cross. And he has forgiven you and me for our debt of sin. We all sinned, and we all need the blood to cover our sin. It is central to salvation. It is central to forgiveness. Is central to the entire Christian life. You know, this morning, one who needs forgiveness is in bondage. If Christ had not died on the cross this morning, if he had not shed the blood, there would be no remission of sins for you and I. There would be no forgiveness of our sins. We would be in bondage. We would be, death would be our only end. I'd like to consider a few questions this morning in relation to the subject of forgiveness. First of all, what is forgiveness? Second of all, why is forgiveness needed? Thirdly, who needs forgiveness? And also, how do I receive and give forgiveness? And what are the results of forgiveness having been received and extended? Forgiveness is one of those things that has to happen in our experience for us, for relation. When someone is offended, you have two sides to a relationship. And forgiveness needs to happen from both sides for a relationship to be restored and for that relationship to become strong again. Many times in life we have one side, and forgiveness needs, and in the I'll start here, forgiveness needs to start with the person that is offended. Forgiveness this morning needs to start, if someone offends me and I refuse to extend forgiveness to that person, I hold that person in bondage to me. We need to extend forgiveness as the offended person to start the process of a healing relationship. Secondly, the person who has offended needs to realize that I am at fault. I have offended. I was wrong. And you need to reckon with that. And you need to realize that and accept that. Because without those things happening, forgiveness cannot happen. One thing forgiveness is not. It is not acting as though it never happened. Okay? It's talking about it and realizing that I have offended or that I've been offended. Okay? It's talking about the facts and it's reckoning with that. As one of two things need to happen when one is offended and when one is the offender, either we must pay the full price that justice demands, or we must have the debt forgiven, okay? And that we must extend forgiveness. But until those things until either of those happen, true relationship building cannot happen. Now, Peter here in this passage says, Jesus was trying to teach Peter here, and he ends up with that in verse 35. He says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Peter thought, I'm just trying to think, read Peter's mind here in this first verse, as he says, you know, how often, you know, shall I forgive my brother? How often, how many offenses till I really ain't responsible to forgive? And he's trying to process this and thinking about the number 7 and maybe that's enough. But Jesus says, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. In other words, don't bother counting. Don't try to count how many times you've been offended. Forgiveness is the release of the offender by the one he has offended from the debt of the offense he's committed. When we forgive this morning, when we extend forgiveness to other people, we release them to God. We release them to from the bondage they under us. Second question we look at is, why is forgiveness needed? Jesus made it clear here in this passage. He says forgiveness is needed because we've been forgiven. Forgiveness is needed because we've been forgiven the debt of sin. Okay? Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." This morning we need to reckon with the fact that I have sinned. I have offended the holiness of God. I have offended God to the point I need his forgiveness. There's nothing that I can do to pay the debt. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Okay? Death, the wages of sin is death. But because of Jesus' death and because of the blood of the cross, we can be forgiven and we can find freedom and peace. Second of all, we need each other's forgiveness. You know, because we live in an imperfect world and we have human flesh, we are going to offend each other. In our lives, you are going to have, Jesus says, forget where it's found now, he says offenses will come. There's going to be times when we are offended by other people. And there's going to be times when life seems unfair that we need to extend forgiveness. So many times we hold the grudge that they deserve to feel guilty for what they did. I will not extend forgiveness to them. They deserve to feel indebted to me for what they did to me. We reason it away by saying it was their fault. While it's their problem. And we don't extend the forgiveness. Forgiveness is not holding a grudge. It is not holding something against them. But it's releasing them. It's not holding them accountable for the offense they have offended you with. It's not holding. We hold them. You know, so many times we like to. Okay, an offense comes, and after a while, they offend us again. Because we revisit the last offense when we get another offense, and then we revisit the last two when we get another one, and we keep revisiting the offenses. And after a while, we just create this big thing in our minds where forgiveness is almost. It's almost out of the picture. We push forgiveness out of the picture, and we cannot see it clearly. But also, I'd like to look at your unwillingness to forgive someone else holds you in bondage to that person. It holds that person in bondage to you, but it holds you in bondage to that person, because an unforgiving spirit this morning will lead to a bitter heart. And a bitter heart will poison yourself, and it'll poison those around you. It will defile other people, which then in turn holds you in bondage to those people. And the cycle continues. Like that cycle of forgiveness this morning continues. In our bitterness, we hurt other people, and then we continue the chain. And that whole chain process is not broken until I am willing to forgive and to lay it down and to forget about it. This morning, as mentioned earlier, we are all in need of forgiveness. And therefore, forgiveness needs to be a way of life for us. We've been forgiven, and we need to extend forgiveness. And Jesus was very clear about that here in this passage. He says, you know, we have the parable of the servants here, and how the servant that has been forgiven went out and was very angry with a servant that owed him much less than he owed his master, his Lord, and threw him into prison. He was not willing to show mercy or have compassion. And Jesus said, and the Lord of that servant came back and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all. And Jesus is saying, those who are not willing to forgive their brothers, the forgiveness of God is not extended to them. And that's serious this morning as we look at that. It says those who, if you're not willing to extend forgiveness as the offended person, then God can't extend forgiveness to you. The forgiveness is not available for you. We all need forgiveness. Not forgive ourselves, but forgive other people. We are not responsible to forgive ourselves. We need to give it to God. He's the one that can forgive sins. He's the one that can forgive our hearts and our lives. Jesus' forgiveness paid the price for your sin, so that we can experience life eternal, and that we can experience relationship with God without the blot of sin in the road. We all need to extend forgiveness because we have received our forgiveness ourselves. And refusing to honor that obligation will hold you in bondage to bitterness that will inevitably result in additional bondage as you offend others by the bitterness that you harbor. So the only option to true peace in Jesus is to forgive. And it needs to be a life of forgiveness. A life of forgiveness. How do I receive and give forgiveness? First of all, we need to understand that forgiveness is based in the blood of Christ. And to receive forgiveness this morning, we need to recognize that I failed. If we do not confess our sins, Christ cannot forgive us. Okay? I need to be willing to confess my sins, be willing to open my life, and God can forgive. Among us this morning, as we offend each other, we need to be willing to open our lives up. And we need to be willing to say, I failed. I hurt you. And be clear and precise about what you What her? Vague answers will not work. Be clear about what hurt, and realize that I am at fault. As you realize that you have offended somebody else, in giving forgiveness, we need to realize that we've been forgiven, and that is our Christian duty first. But secondly, we need to realize that for a relationship to be healed, I need to lay it down. I need to lay it down and leave it to God. Whether we feel it's fair, whether we feel it's unfair, however we feel about it, we need to lay it down and turn it to God. And extending forgiveness is turning that person over to God. God is a just God. We have no business holding that person under our hand for the sin he's committed against us. Because God can work with that person far greater than you and I can. We don't need to straighten. If we feel the person needs straightened out, we don't need to straighten them out. Times in life we feel like if we could only straighten a few people out, maybe we'd be a little better off. But we need to extend forgiveness and let God work in their lives. True forgiveness from both sides will fully restore a relationship and will make it strong, or even stronger than before. Strong relationships only come when through the hard times of life. Relationships this morning don't just happen, but they come through hard times. As the offended, we are still required to forgive, even if the other person never is willing to repent or willing to say, "I'm sorry." You know, we teach our children to say, "I'm sorry," and "I forgive you." But do we teach them the value behind saying, "I'm sorry," or "I forgive you"? Do we teach them what they're saying? It's not acting like it never happened, but it is leaving it lay. Letting it where it is. Forgiveness. In the same aspect that your forgiveness from God sets you free to serve God and sets you free to have peace in your heart, the same is true when we forgive others. We set them free. We set them free from the bondage under you and release them to God. Guilt is a burden that can be eliminated no other way than by receiving forgiveness. Okay? Extend forgiveness. Be the first to extend forgiveness. The result of forgiveness having been extended to someone who has offended you is a multifaceted one. First, you have to release him from his obligation to pay all that he owes you because of the debt he incurs when he offended you The person who has offended you has been delivered from the bondage by your act of forgiveness. So we release the person from the bondage. Second, the bondage of bitterness that you are experiencing as a result of consequence of you refusing to forgive someone has been shattered, and you have been freed from its captivity. And third, your inhibited relationship with the Lord. In other words, you hinder your relationship with the Lord because you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters. And that is so true this morning. When we refuse to extend forgiveness, we put a blot in our relationship with the Lord. And I think that's also what Jesus was trying to teach Peter here. He's saying that when you don't forgive, you put a blot in your relationship with God, and it hinders your testimony and your communication with God. We all know what guilt feels like. And this morning guilt isn't something that's pleasant to live with. And you think about it, when you as a person do not extend forgiveness, you hold that over someone, that guilt, that hammer of guilt, you hold that over that person. When you release them to God, they can clear that guilt. They can clear that guilt. If they choose to. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness from God is a choice of you and I. Forgiveness to our brothers and sisters is a choice. You can choose. Whether you want to forgive or whether you don't want to forgive. But Jesus made it clear that if we do not extend forgiveness, then there is no forgiveness extended. What are the results of forgiveness having been received and extended? We're delivered from the bondage of sin, debt, guilt, fear, and broken relationships. And we release those who have offended us from the debt of their offense and from their obligation to you that results from it. You release that person. That is the result. We can find peace in our hearts. We can find the power of Jesus in our lives when we're willing to extend that forgiveness. That is the result of extending forgiveness. When we hold that over people, we mar our relationship with God. And forgiveness is not extended to us. So let's take that challenge to heart this morning as we think about that. And extend forgiveness. Realizing that as the offended person, it is my responsibility to extend forgiveness. It is my responsibility to first of all, make the step to make things right and to make that choice. Let's kneel and pray.